you'd open up with me to James chapter 5. Every year we try to have a specific theme for our church to focus on together, and we emphasize the theme throughout the year, and it helps us kind of remember our purpose. Some of those that we've come up with over the years have been very encouraging as people get excited about them and jump on them and really become a part. Others aren't appreciated. And, you know, we try to stick with stuff that really God calls us to do anyway, and that we can focus and encourage each other to do. It's nothing strange, nothing new, but they're scriptural. And they should be a normal part of our believer's life. And we want to just emphasize them and strengthen them in our lives. And just as a reminder, over the last bunch of years, it's the ninth year doing them. In 2017, we did Dive In. It's about being serious and committed to studying God's Word. That's when we started putting out the yearly Bible readings for those that would like to have an organized reading through the Bible. There's some papers over here you're welcome to get still. I'll take them down within a week or two. In 2018, we went beyond words. That's applying God's Word, not just knowing it, but living in obedience. In 2019, we did pouring out. That's using what we take in from God's Word to pour into someone else's life. In 2020, we titled it Bent Knees, being persistent and consistent in prayer. In 2021, we called it Hidden in the Heart. That's memorizing God's Word. In 2022, we saw beautifully united. It's being united and fulfilling our God-given purpose. In 2023, we saw intimate prayer. It's deepening our prayers and service for one another. In 2024, we saw one more. A desire to reach one more for Christ. Last year, it was growing together, being like-minded in God's Word. And we're going to continue that. It'll continue in your bulletin. Just a different book of the Bible each month that as a church we would read through, be able to focus on the same area, being challenged by the Spirit of God in the same way, Lord, that we grow as a church together. But this year, the theme seems so simple. United in prayer. We know the importance of prayer. It's sometimes or something that all men and women of God did in Scripture. They called out humbly, approaching Him. We saw Jesus pray through Scripture to the Father all the time. We're called to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayer should be a common part of our life. And we know what we're supposed to pray for, don't we? Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We know that we're to pray for everything. Too often, pray for everything means to pray when I have trouble. Pray when someone's sick. Pray when someone gives me a list. Pray for health, finances. Pray over our food. Pray for a new job. Pray for our church. And these are true and good, but why is it sometimes we don't pray before we even go shopping? That sounds silly. Lord, give me wisdom on what I purchase, what I spend my money on. Why don't I pray before we go for a walk in the street, Lord? Let me honor you with this walk. Yeah. Pray in all things, right? Everything about our lives is with prayer. My hope this year is to take prayer much more serious. On Wednesday nights, about a year ago, we walked through the book of James. And we really studied him out, and he challenged us in a part here in James 5. But James is a man that once he placed faith in Jesus, he became very serious about walking in faith. He became frustrated with those who claimed to be followers that just used his name flippantly. And James, throughout that book, challenged believers to be humble in all things. Humble in our mouth, humble in our intimacy with God, humble to each other, humble with our schedule, humble with our money and stuff, to realize who gave it to us, that he has a purpose for it. And the only way to walk humbly, to walk by faith, is to consistently remain before the throne of God. It's hard to walk away very arrogant and proud when you've been on your knees before a holy God. And yet, when you walk away humbly, you walk away with joy, saying, thank you, God. But here in James 5, this man that loved Jesus calls us to prayer. And I don't know if I'm going to get through the whole message today. I might finish it next week. But there's a lot right here for us to challenge us. In James chapter 5, look at verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that through his blood, open the door that we can access your throne, that we can have a personal relationship with you. I thank you that you call us to pray, that you want this intimacy with us. And Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say as I preach. But throughout this year, we would take prayer serious. We would realize the opportunity, the privilege, and the need we have to pray. And Lord, I ask that as I pray today, your Spirit will work in our hearts. Lord, that we would want to draw nigh unto you, not just for prayers of blessing, but prayers of thanksgiving. But Lord, I ask that you have your way today. In the name of your son Jesus, we pray. Amen. Notice in verse 13 the call you have. Is any amongst you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Or psalms. So I'm going to start that a little bit backwards. He starts out with saying, sing praises, sing psalms. The application of faith causes different reactions. Depending on where you're at, you know, when we start to practice faith, if the reaction is different, what are you going through? Are you in a time that you're bubbling? Are you going through a struggle? Maybe you've counted your blessings and you realize, man, there's some good stuff going on. And it says, is any married? Let him sing psalms, praises. It seems to be the easy part of this calling, doesn't it? You know, if you're married, that means cheerful, excited, you're encouraged. Maybe because you have a reason for that joy. Maybe you've spent some time counting your blessings. Yeah, I believe that if we would spend more time counting our blessings than focusing on our problems, we'd have a whole lot more joy. A lot less depression. A lot less self-pity. Right? We start counting our blessings. That's really easy to start saying, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me. That kind of fixes all my problems right there. It makes you quit getting a pouty baby, doesn't it? To start to count our blessings. Maybe you just had a prayer answered. Yes or no. Both can be a blessing. Yes, I will heal your loved one. Often what I prayed for, I'm thanking God and he said no for. Later on, I realized it. Anybody else been there? You prayed for something, later you're like, oh, I'm glad he didn't answer that the way I wanted. Yeah. God is a little bit wiser than us. And we're glad that we can approach him as our father, and a father that can say, nah, that ain't what you need. You know, maybe you're enjoying fellowship with God. Benny, you get out of God's word sometimes through devotion, like, that was awesome. That hit me right where I needed it. Sometimes that means right in the mouth, and it punched me, and I needed it, and I give God thanks. Other times it was just encouraging. Right? I don't know if you're, I hope you're reading with Growing Together, this book, this month, we're in the book of Isaiah, very practical. Anybody reading with us? I don't want to read your hand, I don't want to embarrass anybody or puff anybody up. But it's a book that can be very difficult. I don't get it. I mean, neither in a lot of it. I'm just like, oh, let's keep going, because God's going to give us something in here. If nothing else, let me see God's wrath on sin and his grace upon righteousness. How he loves when people come to him in love and humility and obedience. Because that's a tough book to read through. But he still uses it to touch our hearts and to feed us. So I hope you're going with us and after spending some time. Wow. Amy and I just read like 8 chapters of it last night together. And after about 8 chapters, we looked at each other and said, yeah, I think we're done. That was hard last chapter. We were playing catch up, so you know. I hope you spend time in God's Word. Because He can encourage you in it. Enjoy the fellowship with Him. Maybe you've overcome sin or temptation. You know what? People that get over in sobriety, they conquer their addiction. What they do every year? They have a celebration. I have a friend that runs the sobriety thing. He's in Kansas City, he's a pastor. And he himself was an addict, in bad shape, came out of prison. And he now runs a sobriety thing. He's always posting so-and-so, 3 years for him, so-and-so, 15 years, so-and-so, 6 months. Why? Celebrate! Lord, you got me out of that. And you strengthened me to overcome that. And it's encouraging to look back and say, I ain't what I was. I ain't what I was. Thank you, Lord. And you can be encouraged. Maybe that's making you merry. Maybe you've been challenged or comforted by His Word and the preaching of God's Word. Maybe you're growing in knowledge. You ever had one of those moments that someone's preaching or you're doing your quiet time and some of you have never realized and you're like, oh, that's what it means. Yeah? Anybody? Come on. You say, yeah. Just you and I, Larissa, no one else. They don't read their Bible, listen to me. Yeah. And that's so encouraging. My boy said, man, thank the Lord. I didn't realize that symbolized and that worked. And he gets excited. He says, if you're merry, if you're cheerful, sing songs. Give him praise. Why do we sing his praises? Why does he say after you're encouraged, when you're excited, you should sing praises? Because often good times create weak people. You heard the saying, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. Often when we get comfortable and because of something good that's happened, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start to relax. We see this with the Jews in the Old Testament as God would take them out of slavery. Oh, thank God, you're awesome, man, blah, 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 blah. Right back in idolatry not long after. What happens? We get comfortable, we get complacent if we're not careful. Success also often makes us proud of ourselves. Look what I accomplished. I'm pretty awesome. Yeah? It's so easy. Oh, yeah. Let me share with you everything I know about the Bible. I memorize all these verses. See, ease in life makes us forget where the goodness is really coming from. Ease puts us in danger to forget the hard work and the danger and the pain it can take if we don't keep working hard. So James reminds us to praise who? The blesser. James 1 told us in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. See, if it's a good thing in your life, praise Him. Praise Him. Yeah? It's okay you're so excited that you find yourself walking through Walmart saying, God is good all the time. Oh, sorry, you're listening. Forgot where I was. It's okay. Praise God. It's okay that you're in church singing praises louder than people next to you because you could help them sing a little louder. Get excited about God's work in your life. And he said, but get your focus on Him, not on yourself. God provides for His people, for His servants, for His children. And so in recognition of His good and perfect gift, we sing praise. And again, we don't pat ourselves on the back. We recognize His presence. I shouldn't brag on myself, but brag on the God who allowed me to do it. Recognize that your prayer was answered. Recognize that probably others have been praying for you. Sometimes this married person may be going through persecution. Maybe they have the joy of the Lord, and yet they're going through a hard time. He's still at peace. He's still focused on Jesus. Still thankful for his salvation. He's still singing songs. And yet, he's in a hard time. Ever heard of Paul and Silas? They're chained up in a dark, wet prison, rat-infested prison, singing so loud it got everybody's attention around them. What a testimony. They were arrested for preaching, and they're still saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Yeah? Paul's still encouraging others, other churches from prison cell, writing different epistles to different churches. Paul's been arrested more times than we could probably count. And yet, they can't stop him from preaching. Because what does he do? He runs in. He goes into that prison cell. He's chained up. That's all I know. And he starts to write letters. Dear Church of Philippi, I love you and I miss you. And Philippians is the most encouraging book of the Bible. Written from prison because somebody wasn't going to let the situation get him down. Because in the midst of his suffering, what he's saying? Thank you, Lord. And now let me encourage you in the midst of my trouble. Right? The apostles, after being beat in Acts chapter 5, they came out and said they counted it a privilege, they counted it a joy to be persecuted for Christ. You imagine saying that? They get the snot beat out of them. They get whipped, and they came out saying, whew, what a privilege that Christ said we could be beat for Him, that we could serve Him in this way. Think twice of when you want to pout about something that happens in your life. That maybe that God placed that in your life so you could be a testimony of Him in the midst of that trouble. Can I hear it? It's hard. Because, man, when I smash a finger in a door, I want to say, God is good all the time. Right? But God has given you the opportunity to sing songs even when you're down. Why? Even in my suffering, I could look at Him and say, you are worthy. The person has problems, but the problems don't have that person. Why, their focus is still on Jesus. He didn't let the problems ruin their attitude, doesn't ruin their view of God. His joy is not about the circumstances. They're in the work of Jesus Christ. But there's many times that problems get to us, situations in life. Men in Scripture, some great godly men in Scripture, fell for depression. Paul shares with us in 2 Corinthians that he was so upset that how that church got mad at him and rejected him that he passed up opportunities God had given to him. Elijah thought he was the only follower left and he was just depressed. You and I have times that we get drained. Ever been there? What's the point? It's over. And yet James 5, verse 13. See what it says? Look at there, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Is any amongst you hurting? Is any amongst you suffering? Is any of you depressed? Let him pray. Sounds so simple. Sounds so easy. Second thing we see here is pray. When we're in trouble, James says, to do the opposite of the flesh. Our flesh wants us to cuss and scream and get mad. Right? Point fingers. You're blame. It's funny because our flesh, in good times, our flesh wants us to take credit. Man, I'm good. I really did good this time. And what James say? No, not about you. I want you to praise him. But in bad times, our flesh can get mad. Want to fix it myself. Figure it out. Sit and worry. Got any worriers in here? That'll spend time and time and time worrying about something? We all do. Just different things. Some people, it's about everything. Some, it's certain things. Like, are the Chiefs going to make the playoffs? I'm still hoping. But if you have a clue, playoffs have already started. Certain team ain't there. But man, yesterday's games were good. Hope you're not a Green Bay Packers fan, because that was terrible. But you see, we come through some serious hard times. I joke about football. But we've been through some hard times, some struggles. And God, and here James, inspired by God, so as the Word of God tells us, instead of taking it into your own hands, instead of letting your flesh control you, he tells you, what's he telling you to do?
Pray.
Call out to God. Approach him. Sometimes approaching him, he's going to point out what needs to be done. Sometimes, don't lose me here. Sometimes this is going to cause you to repent. He's going to point out issues in your life. Sin in your life that doesn't honor him. And you can't have his complete joy when you're still fooling around with the old master. You don't want to purify yourself. Or rephrase that, let him purify you. Sometimes it just requires us to look for guidance and listen for direction. In other words, take a turn that we don't want to take. He says, pray, call out. Seek his comfort. And instead of whining and complaining, shift your focus from your problems to the problem solver. The solution himself. It says, so if you're afflicted, the word might also be written in your Bible as suffering. If you're going through trials, we're going to see that this word can also apply to physical sickness, but in context, that's not what he's speaking of. This passage, this whole chapter and letter is going way beyond the physical. In context, he's speaking of spiritual issues. Are you going through depression? Are you struggling spiritually? You having doubts? Faith? Creeping sin into your life and allowing a little bit more at a time? Are you struggling with sin and temptation? Your marriage? Your kids? Your family? How about the church? You're hurting? How about it's your character, and you got to be a hypocrite at church? You can't use the same words at church that you do at home or at work. That steals our joy. And we start to be afflicted and suffering and hurt. And what are we called to do? What's that word again? Don't say so shy. One or two. What's the word?
Pray.
Pray. Thank you. So simple. So simple. Often our last resort should have been our first thought. In 1 Peter 5, listen to this verse. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Man, that should be comforting. I get to carry my trouble, my frustration, my hurt, my depression to the throne of the Almighty, Omniscient, Creator of the universe. Why? He cares for me. Humble yourself, that verse starts out with. Because he loves you. What it does is when we have to humbly carry our concerns and our cares to him, it recognizes my lack of power. You see the humility it takes? I can't fix this. I don't know what to do. I am hurting. Hard things for a man to say when we're honest. And yet, what does he call us to do? Humble yourself. This points us to the source of help, the mighty hand of God. And I love that Peter here says, remember, Peter. Remember what Peter did? What's he most known for? Denying Christ. Remember not only denying Christ, but how many times?
Three
times, and when? While Christ is over there getting brutally killed for him, he's like, no, I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. And yet, after the resurrection of Christ, he comes to be Peter and establishes his love for Peter. And now Peter to us is saying, listen, I know better than you know he cares for you. You know, the struggle Peter was going through to deny Christ and sin before his master? Watch Christ go through this, put in a tomb, and yet he comes back to him and says, I love you, Peter. So when Peter says, listen, he cares for you, he's not just flippantly using the term love like we do so easily. He's saying, listen, you get to pray to him because he cares for you.
Amen.
So when we fail to pray, we are neglecting the one that loves us most. Is prayer important? Is it vital for our life? Is it a great privilege? Oh my goodness. Awesome. We should be bowed at the cross of Jesus regularly so we can have the needed power. And we're already at the source of help when trials come. If I am in the Word of God regularly, bowed before him in prayer regularly, when the trouble starts to come, guess what? Oh, Lord, by the way, since I'm here already, right? I'm already receiving the power from you. Give me the peace. Give me the wisdom to deal with this too. And we have the power. But notice so far, the prayer and the praise seem to be done alone. But no one should continue alone. God has given us community. You realize that? God has given us community. Understand that? Say amen. Just trying to hear something out there. Okay. God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So he gave Eve. Right? Then he created a nation of the Jews and sent prophets for his relationship with them. Then he created the church with many members. and tells us to be a part of the church. And then we see, now let's talk through Scripture, the Father, the Son, and they have communion all the time together, fellowship amongst themselves. And one day, God's going to take all his people together to eternity with him. And together, the community, we're going to sing praises. And my voice is going to sound good, too. Amy won't want to try to say, that's not the radio play. God's given us a community today, and we should use it. Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we see the community. Is anybody sick? Are you weak, feeble? That means to be without strength or powerless. If you're sick spiritually, seems to be the context here. Speaking of someone who's under the persecution or affliction, and for some reason has become weak and depressed and defeated, complacent, tempted. You there? Don't raise your hand. What are those people here today that are hurting? Maybe you're here. Maybe you're struggling. You've been trying to do it alone. You're hurting. And you notice what God says through James here? If you're sick, what do you do? What do you say to do? Huh?
Pray.
What do you specifically say here? Call. Call. If you're physically sick, we naturally pray for you. We want to pray with you. We know the issue. But those that are spiritually sick, suffering with temptation, suffering with family issues, depression, he calls you again to humble yourself. Admit that you're sick and suffering. Admit that you need help from the community God has placed, and call out for help. Call. That's a humbling act. To say, hey, I need your help. That means I can't handle it on my own. Say, I need your help. It means I need you to strengthen me. I'm too weak. I need your help. And man, I'm about to give up, but I need you to push me. I need this from you. He says, a call out for help. He uses the word elders here. It's kind of an overarching word for leaders of the church. Let me just add this. Notice here, James doesn't say, just expect them to automatically respond. Not always do they realize what you're going through. Also, if they do, they don't know how to go about without seeming like they're prying into your personal business. He says, listen, I want you to call for him. You humble yourself. You say, hey, I need help. And it doesn't say just anyone. It's not making this a public event. It's not calling out to your buddies. This is to call out to godly men. The elders actually have qualifications to be met. That they've proven themselves. That they walk holy lives. They're known for their love for the Lord. You call out for them. Men are going to care for you, pray for you, help restore you. Men are going to keep it between you and them. It's a private matter. Let me help you. Why do I need to call out to them? Because they haven't recognized. It also gives them permission. I want you to help me. And if you call the church leaders together, they now have a responsibility. If you call out to the elders, you call out to a handful of them to come help you, you call out to two of them to come help you, they now have a responsibility in their position. Honestly, that's what any elder wants to fulfill. Over here. The book of Galatians says about it, Galatians 6, 1, 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, not just churchgoers, not those that memorize a bunch of scripture, but ye that walk with the Lord, who God has worked in, ye that are spiritual. Here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is what church leaders should do and want to do. Those strong, faithful men, they want to help those that are hurting, that are weak. Strengthen them. You with me? I want to build them up. But never place themselves in a position to fall into the same sin. Not let themselves get depressed. And so James says, call them together so they come and pray with you. Notice in James 5:14 says, anointing him with oil. Ooh, spooky. It's been used in a very mystical way too often and very dangerous. Why with oil? It can mean a few different things. Medically, many of these people were persecuted. They were injured. They were beat. So oil brings that relief that they had at that time that they could rub on the body and bring relief and cleansing and healing. The second reason could be because oil was used as sanctification. In the Old Testament, it was used to separate men for God's use. And he rubbed the oil on the heads of the priests or on kings. Also, it's a picture that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is used as a picture of the Holy Spirit. So he says, let him rub you with oil. Pour oil upon your head and pray upon you and lead you to the Lord. Here the elders use the oil through the Holy Spirit, accepting the responsibility to encourage, strengthen, and refresh the weak, to help the healing process. You see this? He says, you humble yourself to these men that love the Lord, and what they're going to want to do is come help restore you and strengthen you. And if there's a man called an elder that doesn't get excited to do that, he shouldn't have the title of elder. It's the reason they become an elder, is to invest in others. All this is to be done. Notice in verse 14, the end of it. All this is to be done in the name of the Lord. Not because any of those men have power, but they're called on the name of Jesus in that prayer, calling for the healing of Jesus, the power of Jesus. They were encouraging by using the promises of the Word of God. They were refreshing by using the Word of God. That's how you restore somebody. And the last point here is trust God with the results. We often have prayer requests, and all of our prayers should from our heart be, thy will be done. But he allows us and tells us to bring our desire to him. But ultimately, we know what he wants is best. But when we pray sincerely with clean hands and holy hearts, God answers. Always according to his promises. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, not speaking of physical here, they shall be what? Forgiven. See what he's talking about now? The prayer of faith is effective, we see here. Those are prayers given by faithful people. Not faith that God will obey my prayer, but men that are faithful in obedience to God. Not men that treat God as a wishing well, I remember you when I have a need, but men that know the intimacy with the true God. But those who trust God to guide them, to comfort, to convict, to punish if needed, and they trust him to bring a spiritual healing. And that often includes the physical healing. We got through our list, and again, if you're in the email list, you got like four praises this week of just physical healing that God has provided. And we thank God for that. So when faithful men of God pray, God always acts. When faithful men, maybe in a general word, ladies, okay? When faithful men of God pray, remember, what are you supposed to call? The leaders of the church are to be physical men. So he's going to mention the men. When the faithful men of God pray, God acts. Notice God's promise in verse 16, the second part of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective, the fervent, the hot, sincere prayer that arise to God, that come from a righteous man, that's a man of faith, whose life has been transformed, and he prays in faith. His prayers are powerful. Shared before, just throwing flippantly out there, hey, pray for me, pray for me. No. Find godly people and ask for prayer. Ask for godly people to lift you up. And those are people that are probably not going to say, okay, I'll do it. They're probably going to say, hey, can we pray right now? Why? Because they know the importance of humbling themselves in prayer. So when faithful men pray, God acts. Not because this man's prayers are powerful. Not because this man's prayers are eloquent and he knows all these fancy words. But because he's intimate with the omnipotent God who can move mountains. Listen to 1 John 5:14 here. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, referring to Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sometimes I need to evaluate my prayer. Am I praying according to God's will? Am I praying for something that would honor him, that obeys his word, that reflects his heart? Jesus said over John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, if we pray according to the character and the will of Jesus, he says, you got it. You got it. It may not be what we want, but will be the purpose he wants to fulfill. When we pray in faith, verse 15 says that we see God act. And we got one more point that I want to save for next week. It's a very important point of why we call people to get up. What we're supposed to do as a church in our prayer. But we see such an important point here. It's that, you know what? When you're married, let's praise God. Scripture tells you, you know, when good things happen, let me know so we can celebrate. When bad things happen, let us go through it together. And you know what? When you're married, let me praise with you. Share with you praises. Share with the person in here praises. But you know what? We're supposed to pray together too. Going through struggles, through a hard time, you got questions, you need direction. Don't try to find it on your own. God gave your community to pray with you. He opened access to his throne of the Almighty God to pray with you so that we can gather around his throne together and plead for healing from what you're going through. If you would stand with me. I'm going to have a time of invitation tonight. As we go through this year, prayer is going to really be emphasized and pushed. As you see in your bulletin, there's going to be something each week just for us to pray together about. So specifically, do with the church. And if you will take up this challenge, you can go ahead and sign. As we do every year, we just got the theme on paper right here. But I ask if you're going to do it, you pray about it. You be committed to it. It's going to be here for a couple weeks. But we're going to take prayer serious. Not this flippant thing that we do at dinner time. But that we really want to humble ourselves together. And I've placed right here, for those who really want to be committed, just 10 things to pray for regularly. And I selfishly have myself on there because I need your prayer regularly. You take one, put it on your fridge, put it where you want. But just that we take prayer serious. You know why? Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we're going to see how God is going to use prayer to bless his church, to grow his church, to guide us to obedience. It may be a change that I'm uncomfortable with. You know what? We might get a visitor here that sits in my seat. Praise God if he sits in your seat. Just go moving. Praise God. You know what? If it feels so much that you got to stand up against that wall, thank God, because I stay in all service. You know what? When God sees our life, want to honor him. When we come to him in sincere prayer, he says they're going to avail much. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your presence. I thank you that because of your son, Jesus, I can approach your throne. And I can praise your name. I can pour out on you the thanksgiving. I can pour out on you my depressions, my frustrations, my troubles. And Lord, I ask that you put your hand in front of this room, that we would humble ourselves. Not care who's looking around, but that we would humble ourselves before you. And just enjoy intimacy with you. But we pray for our walk with you. Pray for those around us. Pray for our neighbors and for our church. And Lord, I ask that you have your time in this time of invitation. You know, I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, piano players. Let me ask you, will you humble yourself? Will you step out of your comfort zone where you're at right now? Struggling. I'm gonna start right now.